This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This week, and now looking for a fourth. Caglione has done it again. The kid's going to be just fine. Number one pick for the Royals in their draft this past year. Number one prospect. High hopes, and for good reason. He has put on a show here in Daybreak this week. Caglione flies this to right on a laser. Going back is Cavadas, and it's gone! He's homered for a fifth time this week. The number one prospect in the Royals organization has put on a show here at the ballpark at America First Square. Two homers on the afternoon.
How about that? That guy might become my new favorite baseball announcer. Reminds me of the Shane Gillis skit. Where he's like, you don't hear guys talk like that anymore since Jackie Robinson came into the league.
Well, it's funny.
Yeah, baseball. It's a pitch. Squarely Magoo, the pitcher. Yeah.
I mean, baseball announcers always say things that you never say to your buddies when you're having a conversation at the ball game. Like, you never go to the ball game and say to your friend when you're in the car driving out, so who's towing the slab today, right? But yet, baseball announcers, for whatever reason, talk like we don't talk amongst ourselves. Baseball announcers love doing that, love using terminology that nobody uses. The southpaw's towing the slab today for the team from Kansas City. Like, all right, how about the lefties pitching, you know, for the Royals or whoever the case may be.
I tell my buddies we're happy, I'm ready to go shove some beers.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That should be the new lingo.
Yeah.
You guys ready to go shove?
Absolutely. But, I mean, it's so funny listening. Like, listen to a baseball broadcast, right, and you will hear things being said that you would never say in public to your friends because they sound so ridiculous on a broadcast, and it's not the way people talk. But anyway, that's neither here nor there, and that's just my style of things. But the whole towing of the slab is just one that really, really makes me laugh every single time.
I mean, 40 seconds of greatness, and don't tell me this isn't Shane Gillis.
This week, and now looking for a fourth. Caglione has done it again. The kid's going to be just fine. Number one pick for the Royals in their draft this past year. Number one prospect. High hopes, and for good reason.
A cigar and a fedora.
The
press sign.
Here
and
in
you know.
Daybreak this week.
Typing.
Caglione flies this to right on a laser. Going back is Cavadas, and it's gone.
I mean, it's
he's
Brock Meyer.
For a fifth time this week. The number one prospect.
Did you know he's the number one prospect?
I heard that, right?
He's a good kid from Florida, see? He's 250 pounds, 6'5", with a size 17 cleat. That's two of my feet, putting a one still smaller than his. But no, Caglione's serious, man. Like, this is something that's getting real. It's getting fun. Starting to get more and more involvement from around the fan base. I know it's easier to see it now because of how bad the lineup is and what he has done in AAA. Again, the numbers on the board behind Pop if you're watching on the feed. 346 average, 357, 923, and 1280. That's the slash line. That's nasty for those of you that want smaller terminology. Five home runs, 10 RBI, only four strikeouts. All I heard from people to say was, don't rush him. His chase rate is high. In 22 at-bats, 26 at-bats, where my writing is up there, he's proven that AAA wasn't necessarily a tough hurdle to get to. I know they called up Rave. I know they called up Lofton this weekend. Mm-hmm. That's a start.
But that's not, you know, that's not the big one. Those were the stockings of Christmas, right? That's the, oh, the gift card to Quick Trip, the gift card to Hy-Vee.
Which
that's
are great. All great.
They're fantastic. They're good for what you need, but they're not the, you know, they're not the new basketball goal. They're not the, maybe you're very wealthy. It's not the car.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that
just
sort
take
of
toothbrush
stuff.
Heads.
Right. Yeah. Or batteries.
Yeah.
But to me, I think the conversation that I had, especially with Gold, by the way, we're going to Omaha on Friday and Saturday for Cags to be in his home debut. But to me, I told Gold, he was like, yeah, unless, it, you know, I don't think he's going to miss Omaha this week unless he did something crazy and hit like three or four more home runs before Friday. Then they'd be like, all right, that's enough. Like, he's too hot. Get him up here. And I think that is the case. There's two things that I got to my consensus over the weekend. One, for all these people out here that have the opinion of don't rush him, he's not the savior, he's none of this, I ask you this. Maybe there's a possibility that the Royals got lucky twice. And what I bring to you is this. They got Bobby Witt because Baltimore decided to go with Gunnar Henderson.
No, wasn't it Rutschman?
Or Adley Rutschman. Yeah. I'm sorry, Adley Rutschman. He was one, Bobby was two.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that. So they got Bobby Witt. We know what Bobby Witt is. That was your savior. I have said this many times. He was your savior. This team was putrid for a decade. He comes up, delivers right away. The pressure was not too big. What do we know about Bobby Witt Jr.? Comes from that background, very calm, worked his way through the minors, got up here, been great ever since. Maybe, just maybe, for those of you that think, well, I don't want to rush Cags, I don't want to ruin him, I don't want to see what happened to MJ, maybe they got lucky with Cags with the sixth overall pick. Took him out of Florida, where he was an All-American academically and baseball-y. Like both of those, he was first team All-American.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, calm, and collected. Comes from a very, very prosperous background from high school to college, SEC, from his high school where he went to, HB Platt, where Wade Boggs went, where Kyle Tucker went, where there's another guy that I'm missing that also went there, Pete Alonso.
Mm-hmm.
And we're now seeing it. The other side that I will tell you where I think that it is time is yourself, Josh Vernier, have told me that AA is essentially harder than AAA. If that is the case, he has already taken AAA by storm. He took AA by storm. We're at the point, fellas, where I get it. You don't want him to come up and feel pressure. I don't think that's there. He hit early in spring training, made it all the way to final cuts. He hit early in AA. He got promoted AAA. He's hit early in AAA. At some point, maybe, just maybe, you have yourself a unicorn and you got lucky. You got Bobby. You got Cags. You have a new duo. You had Moose and Haas. This will be better than that. And that's not a shot at Hosmer. That's not a shot at Moose. But we all can see right now that Bobby Witt Jr. is much miles more ahead of what Moose and Haas ever were individually. And Cags could be that next guy. We're also seeing a duo in Kansas City fade its way out in Kelce and Mahomes.
Sure.
And maybe, just maybe, this is the way. This is the future. And sooner than later, it will happen.
Well, we'll see what he does this week. I think this is a big week for Caglione because, you know, let's look at Salt Lake City altitude, right? And so balls fly out of that ballpark.
Sure.
That's great. Let's see what he does this week from a home run standpoint. If he continues to do that, then what are we doing here, right? There's nothing really much more that we can do, you know, to keep Jack Caglione down. So I think this is going to be an important week to kind of get back to the mainland, if you will, and see what he can do in a normal ballpark. But I will disagree with you on one thing. I think there's more pressure on Jack Caglione now than there would have been had he come up on April 1st. And the reason is nobody's hitting right now. And that really does put the pressure on Cags from a fan standpoint. I don't know if there's an organizational standpoint, an individual standpoint, but if he came up at the beginning of the year, we didn't know that this team couldn't hit. And it's okay to say that now. I am not in the wrong by saying this team can't hit. We have given it 2 months. We are now past Memorial Day, okay? Now it's time to put the big boy pants on and have real conversations. This is not a very good hitting ball club right now, and that's being kind, right? I think that's fair to say. I gave it the 2 months. I gave it to Memorial Day to see what we can do. Now I'm realizing, and it's time, and I think the organization is realizing. You got rid of Renfro. You got rid of Biggio over the weekend. Great moves to start this whole thing off. They're now starting to realize this is the time now where you start to make that move, where you see some of these teams start to peel off a little bit. Maybe you can go poach a couple of hitters from some of these other teams that are starting to fall out of the race. This is the key point in time now where you can make these determinations. And I look back and I go, maybe it would have been better for Cags' development just to start the season up here at the big league level, and I'm being a little facetious by it, but I know when he comes up now to this level after 2 months of everybody watching this team not hit, the pressure's going to be, this guy's got to hit. This guy needs to get the job done. So I do think there's probably more pressure from a fan base standpoint now than had he just come up at the beginning of the year before we knew nobody could hit on this roster.
I would say to counter those points, the pressure for him to hit shouldn't be that high. Hell, if he hits 250, he's the third best hitter on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, he's already a fan favorite.
Sure.
So when you come in early in the season, not everybody is in tune, right? Not everybody listens to the underground music.
Right.
But now the underground music is a hit. Like, this is now album two of the Lumineers. Like, you're done with Ho-Hey.
Right.
Right. Now you're on to Angela and all these other songs where you're like, oh, yeah, that's the Lumineers. You're like, got that one guy in your group that's like, yeah, well, I knew him from album number one when they had 8 songs, whatever it is. But now Cags has shown to an entire fan base, because of what the Major League roster has done, that you can see that there is promise. And the fact that the pressure to actually produce is just to show up on the team. C14 in royal blue with it across the letters left to right with 14 in the lower left corner. But, I mean, for him to produce is not asking much, because what this offense has shown to produce is not much. It's historically bad. It's a very, very bad.
Do you think they would pitch around Cags when he came up to this big level?
They already are in Triple A.
I mean, but they
intentionally walked him.
I know, which is crazy in Triple A, which makes no sense to me. Like, because everybody's trying to do something, though. Like, everybody's working on something in the minor leagues. There should never be an intentional walk trying to win a game in the minor leagues. Like, that to me is ridiculous.
And I think
we're not here to win.
I think the other pressure point, too, is a lot of people go back to Gordon's debut. He's not that guy. He doesn't have to be
that
guy.
Well, that's what we do in baseball, though. We want to compare everybody to why it didn't work, why it can't work, and why it won't work. Right. I'm looking at it from a standpoint of, you've got to take these necessary climbs. He's aced all of these necessary climbs. He's currently acing this one.
Sure.
If he continues to ace the class, then what are we doing here? It's time to promote him and see what he can do at the next level. I just think that it would have been a better fit, obviously hindsight being 2020, from a taking all the pressure off. If he was on this roster on opening day and part of this lineup the entire time, there would be no pressure. He's going to come up here and we're all going to sit on the edge of our seats and go, 5-run home run, 17-run home run, 27-run home run. Let's go, let's go, let's go. If I'm the rest of baseball right now, they bring Cags up, I would absolutely pitch around him until the other guys in this lineup show that they can beat me.
I think the other thing, too, is you don't know if you don't know.
True. Yeah.
Right? Like, you talk about your daughters learning how to drive. Eventually, you've got to be like, you're on your own. Go to the...
Baseball doesn't like doing things like that.
But sometimes...
I mean, watch the sport for 100 years. Well, we better not do this. It's a little bit different, you know?
Sometimes you don't have a choice if they are producing everywhere but where they have to go next.
Yeah.
And that's what he's doing. He's expediting the process on his own terms, not the team's terms. It'd be one thing if he was in the minor leagues hitting 280 with 4 home runs total.
Yeah.
And the Royals are like, ah, crap, we can't hit. We need anything. We'll take it. That's the savior mentality. The Royals are basically saying, we aren't hitting. This guy is. He's just going to basically put himself in the position to come up here. And if he does that and he does it on his own terms instead of the team's terms, I don't think that pressure's there. And I think he just keeps rolling.
And then, as I said earlier, I think Massey would be the odd guy out.
Sure.
I would move Garcia to third. I would keep India at second, which you're seeing a lot of right now. And right. Then you have the opportunity to put Jack Caglione in the outfield. And I would make sure that he's playing in the field. I'm not one of these guys, bring him up and let him DH type of thing. I think that's a waste of everybody's time. He needs to start playing in the outfield at the big league level in order to become a big league outfielder.
No doubt. We'll go to break. We'll get back. We'll get into one word. We'll get into what is the biggest mulligan for every team when it comes to sports and those damn Royals bats. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. People still using those torpedo bats?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up.
It lasted 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, because nobody's making any sort of contact. We talked last week what they have. It's one of the worst years ever in the history of baseball when it comes to batting average. And so the torpedo bat is showing, like, if you still can't hit the ball, it doesn't matter if you have a torpedo bat.
Lower the mound.
Make contact with the baseball.
Lower the mound.
What'd you say? We had a text earlier from a youth league coach or whatever it was.
Yep.
About taking more pitches. Is that what it was? Something to that level?
Yeah, it says I believe it's here. Royals needed to take a few pitches yesterday. They were hacking at everything.
Mm-hmm.
And is Dan Kilgore going to practice?
Right. What I don't understand with all that, they need to take, what if you see a really good pitch? Like the best pitch you may see may be the first pitch of your at-bat.
I just think they need to take all the change out of their left pocket, put it in their right pocket.
Yeah.
You know, hike up your socks a little bit higher.
Right.
Put your hat to the left.
You're co-hosting with Alcides Escobar today, apparently. Yeah. they scored four runs yesterday, guys.
That's a lot. Usually you score four, you win. That. Yeah.
Maybe swing earlier. Maybe it worked. I don't know.
I don't know what the right answer is, and I know we're all trying to find help, right? That's what we're trying to do, and now is the time. Now it's okay. I don't want to use the term panic time, but it's concern time now. It's okay. And the interesting thing about it is, though, that, like, if this was back in the day, a couple of years ago, before we have the new ownership in place and whatnot, this would most likely be your team, right? And now we know that this is your team today, but it's not going to be your team in a couple of weeks. It's not going to be your team in a month or so. The Royals are going to be very active. They're already starting to clear those roster spaces and, you know, free up some areas where they can go out and make some moves. And so that's the good news about this is they're struggling right now, but it is not going to be a long ride on that struggle bus because they're going to go out there and they're going to make changes to this roster. They've already showed us. They've already had three big changes this year. That Sam Long guy is gone. Hunter Renfro is gone.
Sam Long's in a rehab
assignment. Who was the guy they cut the other day that was a pitcher, though?
Wasn't Schreiber. It was
the general? No. Somebody. They got rid of some guy that was no good. Yeah. And so then they got rid of Hunter Renfro, who was no good. And then, obviously, they got rid of Kevin Biggio and sent him down, who was a very disposable part.
And
MJ Melendez as well. I mean, so this is not an organization that's afraid to make moves. And if guys aren't producing, they're not going to sit around and stick with these guys for a long period of time. That's the good news right now. So, yeah, has the offense been good? No, it's been putrid. It's been awful for the first 2 months. But now as we get past Memorial Day and enter June, it's okay to have those conversations and talk about ways to fix it, which they've been doing since before spring training even ended.
Yeah, June 1st, obviously on Sunday, that's always when the real season begins. That's like the, I don't want to say the December of the football season, but maybe it's mid-November. It's Thanksgiving.
It's right after Halloween. Right. You probably, right in the beginning of November now, right?
Yeah. So that's when, you know, you start to see your teams either take it or leave it for the season. And I think it's interesting to see that the Royals are, that is, you know, good of the weekend, is that they are realizing that there is a problem. I mean, at one point this weekend, all four of the main four, I don't count the White Sox in this division, but the Guardians, the Tigers, the Royals, and the Twins were all in the playoffs.
Right.
And you get past the 50-game threshold, you can start looking at standings. I know Vern will tell you to kind of calm down until at least Father's Day, till you can start, you know, standing
That's
watch.
That's 2 weeks now, but, though, yeah.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, they're making moves. They're addressing the problems they have. They finally gave up on Hunter Renfro. They finally sent down other guys that weren't hitting. They sent that, you know, there's a chance now that Massey's on watch, and there's a guy behind them that is giving them no option other than to keep looking forward, and that is Jack Caglione. You love to see it. But the good of the weekend was realizing they had a problem. Get rid of some bad eggs. Bring some guys up that maybe can get a little bit of juice going in this lineup, get a little bit of a spark. I thought we saw that from Lofton in that game where he slid home and up and gave that fist pump to the home dugout. And, you know, Rave gets called up as well. He's been, you know, smashing in AAA. He gave them no other option. They had nothing up here. As for the swinging at aggressiveness, look, anything that you can change, go different. I don't care if you're swinging the first pitch. Make contact, get on base, knock somebody the F in. Mm-hmm. That's all I want. You got to hit the Twins. But again, that's the good and the bad. You lost to your division opponent again, 2 out of 3. You're still not hitting, you're not getting runs in. And your offense is putrid. And I get it, a lot of teams' offenses are bad. Yeah. I understand that. But you're a playoff team.
But we don't
team.
Care about it. I'll say like right. I do with my kids. I don't care about anybody else's right. kids, right? I don't care that the rest of the league is doing this at this point in time. It's good to talk about and let everybody know kind of where people are.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I'm responsible for my own house. And right now, my own house from an offensive standpoint isn't in order. And they need to figure it out.
And then there's, obviously, you see the memes go around the internet. The Brent Rooker,
yeah,
right, and a lot of people forget he was here.
Right,
he wasn't good here. He was other places, wasn't good there either. And then figured it out when he got to Oakland or Sacramento or Vegas, whatever they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess people look at that as like, man, I'd like to have that one back.
Yeah, that's the one that you'd like to redo because
but for this team right now, like it because it does fit the narrative of what could be for an offense that's struggling.
This whole team, we're not having this conversation if Brent Rooker is here and part of this organization at this point in time. It's a bad move by the Royals to get rid of Brent Rooker. You know, you've got to be able to identify talent and project that talent out. You're going to miss. It happens. It does. They miss big time with Brent Rooker on this one. A major miss with Brent Rooker on this one, because what we're trying to fix is what Brent Rooker would have been delivering to you had you kept him on this roster, right? That bat in the lineup that we needed, the extra oomph, the home runs, the power, all of that kind of stuff would have been solved had they kept him here in Kansas City and he realized his talent here. Now, maybe there was something in the way that wasn't going to allow him to realize that talent here in Kansas City. I don't know what it was. I hate to say this because I don't know this for a fact, but I'm going to say this because this is my perception. I think Mike Matheny did more damage to players than we're willing to realize, because, you know, another guy who's hitting the ball real well right now that they got rid of that wasn't a fan favorite here, Ryan O'Hearn.
Yeah.
Ryan O'Hearn is dominating right now in Baltimore. Brent Rooker has dominated for the last couple of years in Oakland. And those were two guys that never realized their potential when Mike Matheny was the manager here. They get away from Mike Matheny and look what's happening to both of those players. And so I'm not pinning it all on Matheny. I'm not pinning it all on the organization. It's a combination of everything, right? Players got to play better, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But sometimes you see guys go to changes of scenery and they take off because they feel free, if you will, right? And we've talked about that, you know, with Matheny, how everything mattered, how every at bat was the last at bat and all that kind of stuff. You can't play that way. And you see Brent Rooker and you see, you know, Ryan O'Hearn have this success, and then you see what's not working here in Kansas City, right, Dusty? You're like, man, those two guys could have fixed it. We wouldn't be in this quote-unquote predicament, if you want to use that term, where they are, where they're not getting any offense generated. Had they kept at least one of those guys on the roster, you'd be getting that kind of offensive production, and you wouldn't be in dire need to go out and add a bat, and you could wait for Cags and then insert him into the lineup, and everything would be great.
Yeah, tonight is the trade watch game as Jonathan India versus Brady Singer will happen right out of the chute.
Right.
For the Royals in the bottom of the first, as we'll get Brady Singer and his return to Kauffman tonight. In that article of offseason mulligans, there's, you know, some talk that maybe India was a miss. Biggio was not good bringing him in. Mark Canna was an option at like 30 plus years old that you were going to try to fix something. You haven't done that.
Mark Canna came in like the last day of spring training because we were out there. We're like, who's this guy playing in right field or left field? I remember like it was yesterday. I'm like, oh, Mark Canna, they added. Okay. Biggio didn't cost you anything. That was a free move, you know? So I don't have a problem with them adding those guys. They added those guys because plan A, which was, as we talked about in the break, Santander, who's hitting what, 189 right now?
189.
Okay. Not exactly tearing the cover off the ball, so the Royals escaped that one. That was plan A, and then they had to revert because plan A didn't pan out. All right, what are we going to do? And you can't knock them for trying and going out there. And that's the one thing that I love about JJ and John Sherman right now is that they're trying. They're not sitting pat. They're not hanging out and going, all right, we're 3 games over .500. Let it be. They're going, no, we're not good enough right now. You, Hunter Renfro, aren't producing. You're gone. MJ, you're gone. Pitcher that we can't remember, not producing. You're gone.
Stratton.
That's right. They got rid of Stratton at the end, right?
Thank you, Texan.
Thank you very much. So that's what they're doing. And I love that. I love the fact that this organization is not afraid to make moves. I'm excited to see what the next one's going to be.
Two things. Do you think you can does the spending money by cutting money the same thing?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. Yeah. Because they spent bad money and they're willing to admit that they spent bad money.
And I'm going to ask Vern this because I know his text line is just flushed with this question. How much does Zumi get blamed for this?
I get it,
but again,
yeah,
you know, at what point you talk to Q during a losing streak, do you flip the table up? At what point does
I don't know the answer to that question. They're all not hitting well, so maybe it is on the
target
coach,
number
right?
One right now in fan base is
the hitting coach. Yeah,
100%.
Yeah, well, because they complicate things too much. And I'll say this, and I know they're not going to like my conversation on this. They're overthinking this thing. See ball, hit ball. It's not that hard.
Does that message need to come from him?
I don't know. It needs to come from somebody. Maybe it comes from Bob Fesco, you know, or whatever. But
come from Nick Prado,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But they make the game too hard. There are way too many numbers. There are way too many analytics. There's way too much noise. There's way too much nonsense. There's way too much crap getting in the way for these players right now. And they'll tell you that. I guarantee. I was looking at something over the weekend, and they're like, we're just going to go back to the basics. We're just going to go up there and just try to play baseball and put the bat on the ball and not worry about launch angles and hard hit rates and all this kind of stuff. Like yesterday, there was one like Salvi blistered one at like 119 miles an hour for an out, and then loops one in the right field that was like 74 miles. It wasn't Salvi. I forget who it was. It was like a 74 mile an hour duck snort into right field. Mm. And Ryan's like, that one was like 74 miles off the bat, but it fell for a hit and we got on base. That's why this hard hit rate stuff and all of this white noise that is out there in baseball is just way too much. Their heads are swimming with information right now, and I do believe the organizations are to blame. See ball, hit ball, make this thing simple. It's too complicated, right? There's too much information. So to answer your question, maybe he is a problem.
I think where you have to give credit, where you take credit, is maybe Zumwalt and Vinny Pasquantino have been hitting the lab for the last month, and Vinny's hitting, what, 350 in the month of May? So something has to be on both sides of that conversation if you want the hitting.
Or maybe Vinny's just walking away from all of that and going, I'm doing it on my own, too.
And like you've said, maybe Vinny's less is more. Like, not on social media as much, not worried about hit rate, not worried about spin rate, not worried about it. Just see ball, hit ball. And Vinny Pasquantino has been great this entire month of May. He's bloostered his average all the way up from what it was, like 184, to now it's, I think, in the 240 range.
Yeah.
That's a massive upgrade. You need to see other guys start doing it as well. You need to see India start hitting better. You need to see Bobby Witt Jr. kind of come up in clutch situations. Maybe Massey's not your answer. He goes down. Jack comes up. All of a sudden, this lineup has a new feel, a new look, a new kind of vibe, and it starts to become a hit in that lineup.
I saw 294 for Bobby yesterday, too. He's in a bit of a slump that nobody wants to talk about.
God forbid he not hit 324.
I know, right? But still, I mean, look, his numbers are down this year as well. It's everybody. So to answer that question, is it the hitting coach? Maybe it is. I don't know, but I'm not going to sit here and say this guy needs to be fired because I don't know exactly what's going on and whatnot. It's easy to throw out the hitting coach because you can't fire all the players. But if all the players are struggling and there's one common denominator, you do have to look at that. Teams fire hitting coaches all the time.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No.
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
The whole body odor thing, I got me questioning. Do you wear deodorant as much as you used to?
Always. Sometimes
I'm
twice a day.
I'm finding people are moving away from deodorant these days.
Never.
No. I wear it all the time.
I use the, I think it's called Native from Target.
Okay.
Or Nave. I think it's Native. I don't know. It's like no aluminum.
Okay, so that's where I was going with. There's a lot of people around this, like, get off the aluminum stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So you use that kind
of
stuff.
I think it was, like, causing me to break out. Like, I was over here, like, itching the armpits throughout the day, and so I switched from Old Spice to this.
That's why I used women's deodorant for all these years, because it made it so I didn't have that. And a friend of mine was telling me over the weekend, and we were kind of in the sauce, so I don't know if this was actually what I remember. He was saying, like, he puts bacon grease under his arms now or something like that, or under his kids' arms to keep the scent away. You're looking at me like you've heard this before, Nathan.
No. Was it Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher that said they don't bathe their kids a few years ago, famously? So there was some famous couple that came out and said, we shower,
I don't take advice from celebrities.
Yeah. Well, it made like news waves. That stuff just freaks me out, man. Ooh. No, deodorant's never going to go out of style.
Okay. But never. The aluminum stuff, that's where it was. That's how you know you're old, when you're having conversations about how much aluminum's in your deodorant. Hmm.
Guys, one word, and we'll go with the low-hanging fruit first.
Not yet.
No.
Not yet.
Nope. One word to describe CAG's first week in AAA in Salt Lake City.
I snort. Unbelievable.
Proven. He is the one. This is the way. I've said this since February. It's all good. You can get on this CAG's train. I know a lot of people are. Proven, man. Like, that's what you were supposed to do. Show us what you can do the next level up. I don't know. Here's five home runs in 4 days. One went 459 feet, went completely over the building. Put on a show, man. It's just, he's proven. He's the one. He got lucky twice. You got Bobby and you got Cags. I firmly believe that.
Yeah, and I was going to go with Heralded along the same lines there.
Heralded Reynolds? I liked him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a good player.
Cags would throw him out from left, too.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Guys, one word to describe Brady Singer's return to Kauffman Stadium tonight.
Meh. Like, he was a totally irrelevant piece to this puzzle for me. That's the way I look at it. Didn't really do a whole heck of a lot, just a guy.
I think it will be like, I don't know. I think it'll be special for everybody. I think Brady will always love Kansas City for taking him in the draft out of Florida. I think he has a home here. He got married here. He grew a fan, like built friendships here. It'll be what? 30 seconds?
Yeah, for him, it'll be more than I think for the fans.
I mean, I think the fans, some of the fans will love it because he was a name last year. Everybody said, do not trade Brady Singer. They traded him. Jonathan India hasn't lived up to his trade. Brady Singer's got a 480 ERA. So I'd love to see him go out there and get after him early and knock him out early and be like, here's why.
I'd like to see India come off, lead off with a home run.
Wouldn't that be something?
How awesome would that be?
Maybe we do an anytime India home run. He's only got, what, one on the year, two?
We got time. I was going to say neutral for Brady Singer.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, neutral's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, right there. It's like, oh, if you don't get to your seat early enough to see him, like, tip his cap, whatever.
Yeah.
But if he does, there you go.
It's not like you're racing in to see Haas or Moose or Gordo or somebody Kane, you know, somebody that had a major impact here. Like, sports teams have fallen into this. Just because somebody played there doesn't mean we all have to be in our seats to see. You know, I saw somebody the other day on whatever game I was watching, honoring us. I'm like, who?
Get away from baseball here for a second. One word to describe, well, a little bit of backstory here. Aaron Rodgers still has not signed with a team.
What?
Gave an interview. He was asked about whether or not he'd retire as a Packer. And he said, would that affect the way I was viewed in Green Bay? One word to describe Aaron Rodgers' continued showmanship this offseason.
I love that word. I'm just going to take that showmanship. That's exactly what this has been. It's been everybody's living in his. He is now the Savannah Bananas of the NFL offseason. You're paying attention to everything that's going on. You're watching every move. You're listening to everything. We're all captivated. But I was telling Dusty this morning, I go, there's a lot of Aaron Rodgers stories this morning and nothing's happened. He goes, that's all they got.
Irrelevant. I don't care. No, dude, your legacy's tarnished. You burned every possible bridge you had in the NFL. Unless he were to, like...
What if he won a Super Bowl in Pittsburgh?
Now, the only thing I would say where it could happen is if, for some reason, he doesn't sign to any team, Jordan Love tries to throw out another first pitch and gets injured doing so, which we'll get to that a little bit later, and they bring him in, and they just do it, and he gets them all the way to the NFC Championship game, and they lose.
Even bring him back to Green Bay would be unbelievable.
And then all of a sudden, he retires the next year. He's like, I gave it my all. I did what I had. Thank you, Green Bay, for one more opportunity, but now I'm going to go away into the darkness. I think that would be the only way, and that ain't happening.
That would be really cool. Like, really? Like, it would be awesome.
My one word's enough.
Yeah.
Enough.
Yeah.
A nut?
Yeah. Correct. Okay. Correct. No, we've got two more for you here.
Sure.
One word on Tyrese Halliburton's father being allowed to attend game four tonight. The ban is lifted.
Showmanship. It's the NBA show. It's showmanship. It's another reason now that you're going to be paying attention to a series that looked like it was over. Knicks are down 20. Hey, they found a way to come back. Home field, home court doesn't matter in the NBA right now, obviously. Bring them back in. It's just another layer of gimme, 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 gimme entertainment with the NBA.
I will say it's one word three times, drama, drama, drama.
Mm-hmm.
I better have him sitting right next to Spike Lee.
No, he's supposed to be up in a suite.
Oh.
I think is what I read.
Oh.
And well, so you know the camera will be on him the entire time.
Oh, yeah. More than Taylor Swift.
You remind me, Dusty, of that Charles Barkley where he says, Nash and Paul, must see TV.
Yeah, no doubt, man. No doubt, yeah.
Final one here is one word for the state of the rest of the WNBA without Caitlin Clark over the next few weeks.
Irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. Hurt. That's their superstar. They were just kind of, they had her last year as a rookie year. You got fireworks early this year, and immediately it's over. It's the finale that you went to go see, and all of a sudden it's like, all right, that's it, due to weather. Have a good night. You're like, the sun just went down. We got 9-minute show. It's supposed to be 15. Now you've got to wait until, not next year, but now you have to wait. You just kind of got your juices flowing. You got the, you know, the enticing feeling of that where I know I do sports for a living, but I was watching her on Amazon Prime at 6 o'clock, waiting for everything else to start and betting on it, involved in it, enjoying it. And now it's 2, maybe 3 weeks being out of the WNBA. It hurt.
You know, the other word that you could use in this, if done the right way, is opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
It's an opportunity now for the WNBA and for the players in the WNBA to show us why they're more than Caitlin Clark. Will they take advantage of that? I don't know.
I mean, you talked about, you know, going to a game as a child and you interact with some random athlete. It's your first autograph. And then all of a sudden you're a fan randomly. Think about all the little kids that are going to go to a game thinking, you know, the parents thinking we're going to see Caitlin Clark. Here's your chance to put another face of the Fever or the league forward.
Looking at you, Paige.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? As a parent, at least you know that Caitlin Clark's not going to play. Not like taking your kid to an NBA game and having guys opt out because they're tired that day.
Yeah.
That's even worse.
Feel bad for those primetime television spots that had that Saturday 2:30 Caitlin Clark game, and now they're like, well, what do we do now? It's like, well, you show it, and you hope something happens.
All right. We'll see what the numbers are, but they're going to be drastically lower, and people are going to realize that Caitlin Clark is the athlete that drives the league.
Speaking of driving the league, it is a Tuesday. Bob drives the show here on the other side because it is a Tuesday threesome. It's Bob's Tuesday threesome on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. And happy Tuesday to you. Hope you had a good holiday weekend. Hope you're having a good week this week. Short week, even though today feels like an eternity.
Yeah, today is really dragging, and I think a lot of it has to do with the weather. And Dusty looked at me and goes, God, we're like old men in here complaining about the weather. But
We are,
but the older that you get, the more you realize how much really truly is affected by that weather. I mean, everything gets affected by it. Your mood's affected by it. Going outside, Dusty's like, I can't even walk outside.
No.
Yeah, you can't even go for a nice walk. There's no sun. Look at Nathan's. They're going, yeah, I totally understand what you guys are talking about. But like, it affects everything. It affects the want to, the drive, the excitement. It's supposed to be summertime. The sun's supposed to be out.
Got 80s and sunny this weekend coming up.
There we go.
Yes, we get to the weekend, baby. Get me to Friday and everything will be good, right?
I want a day drink in Omaha on Saturday. I want to get loose because Friday it's just more so. I got to get there.
Yeah, you got to get there.
Saturday, got all day.
But you got all day Friday. I mean, well, you're leaving late, aren't you?
Yeah, I got to wait for my boyfriend to get done with the show at 2 o'clock.
So you all going to be rolling in like game time, basically, to the Storm Chaser. Who are they playing this weekend? Do you even know?
No.
So they're rolling in there, playing the Storm Chasers on Friday. You watch the game, have a couple of brews there.
Yep.
And then, Saturday. Yeah, is Saturday a day game?
Yeah, no, it's a night game.
It's a night game on Saturday. Okay. Day games would be good.
We got our tickets. I think I was on the patio and Gold texted me and he goes, so we should probably go to Omaha, wink, wink, kind of serious.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you mean? I was like, you want to go see him in Omaha? I was like, I got nothing. Yeah. He doesn't have anything. I was like, let's go. He goes, all right, I'll buy tickets to Friday. You buy tickets to Saturday. I said, okay.
And he did it.
And then Saturday this week, we both booked our hotels on the old apps and stayed in a hotel, different rooms.
Oh, different rooms. Look at you guys. How about that?
Different rooms.
Wow, that's unradio-like. Yeah. Look at you guys.
Different rooms. Got a good deal on hotwire.com.
Must be nice, Dusty.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Wow, look at that. So, I don't even stay in separate rooms for my kids when we go on vacation.
Yeah, dude.
Gold
can get out there and start slaying. So,
oh,
you know.
But that's the thing. You know? Yeah, Alex has got game, baby.
No
Alex
doubt.
Has got game. And that if you and Alex start dating people, it'll help my life out, too.
Really?
Just so you know. Because every single woman, my wife goes, Alex or Dusty? I'm like, every woman who's breathing that doesn't have a ring is not good for Alex and Dusty.
That's right.
Now, they both deserve a great woman and would make any woman happy. But my God, Jen Fesco, stop playing matchmaker out there. What do you think about her? Do you think she'd be good for Dusty? Well, I don't know.
So it'll be St. Paul is who they pick.
Oh, okay.
I don't care. I'm going to see Cags as a fan. Got the shirt that we took down to Springfield. Going to take those back over there. I'm just ripping packs of cards nonstop this week. Amazon already knows my address without even entering it.
How much are you paying for cards these days?
$30.
A pack?
For like a box.
And how many packs come in a box?
Six.
And how many cards in a pack?
I don't know. 12? And you get like 3 or 4 that are worth it. I put a stack in front of Alex's desk over there to see which ones are worth it. So he says, keep all chromes, keep all like autos, and keep all numbered cards. So I got a couple of those from guys that I don't even know who they are.
What brand is it that you're buying?
Bowman.
Bowman, okay.
I'm looking for the Kags Hollow.
Okay.
First edition Bowman, which I'm never going to find, but there's a chance, you know?
Right.
When I was a kid, I got a Charizard card that was holographic that was huge at the time.
So
that's right, Charizard. It was a great card. Come on.
Yeah, what did he
pitch?
I know that card.
Who is that? Like a Weeble
that's
Wobble?
No, that's like the stage 3 of the Charmander. So it's a big card.
Is that what was that thing that we hunt, people poppers? What was that? Remember that craze? And even like Hillary Clinton got in it. We had a drop about it. Oh, everybody's looking around the city and the country and the world for these
Pokemon
Pokemon Go.
Oh, yeah, they were all out at the parks.
Yes.
They were all at like safe places. Yes. They're like parks, churches, gas stations were like where you could have your you know, your battles. I think I did it for like a week and I was like, this is not me, dude.
Well, that was 2016 because that was Pokemon Go to the polls.
Yep. Yeah. And today is Bob Fesco Goes Threesome.
Yeah, that's right. It is our Tuesday threesome. And I, because you don't know what you're going to choose, do you? Right? This all took place this weekend. We've got a strawberry pie. We've got a Jersey Mike's sub and Blackstone fried rice.
Did you take my advice and take Jersey Mike's to the game on Saturday?
I didn't take it to the game on Saturday, but we got it yesterday. We went to Jersey Mike's and got it yesterday.
Can I ask what you got?
I just got the number 9, the turkey and provolone, or maybe that's number 7.
Okay.
Turkey, provolone, Mike's way. That's it. Pretty simple. Just delicious. Oh, unbelievable. You got to get it. So my wife goes in there.
Can you buy the juice?
I think you can.
Like
yeah.
The bottle so I can just sit at my house and just...
I mean, it tastes like childhood. I'm not going to lie. It was fantastic.
Right.
And you know, it was a wonderful sandwich. And so I enjoyed the heck out of that. The Blackstone fried rice. I'm going to say I made a faux pas on this one, Dusty. And I think you can correct me on this. I used the low sodium soy sauce in there. And I think I need to use the regular sodium soy sauce.
You got to know what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah.
You're making combination fried rice on a Blackstone. There's more butter in there than Paula Deen could get in.
Right.
And you're eating all... Yeah. I
mean, yeah, you got to use the regular sodium
soy
sauce.
I think the kick that I found out with my combination fried rice on the stone is, have you ever bought that Japanese barbecue sauce?
No, but we were looking at it the other day, and my wife...
Game changer.
The Hy-Vee had it.
Absolute game changer.
Really? Okay.
100%. So, yeah. And the other key is
But there's so many different flavors of that barbecue sauce.
Yeah, I get the teriyaki.
The teriyaki one.
So,
okay.
Soy sauce on the rice. And the other thing is you have to cook your rice, like, either that morning...
Oh, I did it, like, a day in advance, yeah.
That's got to be cold, so it doesn't, like, mush.
Yep.
And then, yeah, I do the soy sauce and the rice, add the vegetables, open up the center, add the eggs, mix that all together. Over here on the other side, burners are your meats. And then when you combine it all together, you drizzle that Japanese barbecue sauce all over it and then fold it all together. I ain't know.
Oh, that does sound pretty
good.
Great. I do like that.
Right, it's great.
I'm going to try that the next
time
I do it.
Or sweet baby Ray's teriyaki sauce on the top.
That is really good. The sweet baby Ray's teriyaki is really, really good.
So I don't know if I can pick one because Jersey Mike's Club Sub, the number 8, Mike's Way, no onion, add the red pepper relish, out of this world. I don't know if I've had another sub from another joint in 5 to 6 years.
I mean, they're that good.
And that strawberry pie from Tippins, if that's where it's from, that's another dangerous one, or from like wherever, and it's strawberry pie.
Strawberry pie.
I'm going to go combo fried rice on the stove.
Okay, because I did shrimp fried rice. Mm-hmm. I followed the Blackstone recipe on theirs, like Betty's shrimp fried rice or whatever
Can't
it was
go wrong
on the Blackstone.
That,
so like everything was separate, right? You cook the egg, move that to the cold side. Cook the vegetables, move that to the cold side. Then you start to get the rice going. But I did mess up with the soy sauce. I should have used regular soy
sauce.
It's
like getting a cherry limeade from Sonic. And you're like, can I get the non-sugared syrup? It's like, this tastes like ass.
you're right. And Jen goes, something's just missing. I'm like, yeah, it's probably the soy sauce. Probably not the right flavored soy that we use. And a friend of mine always told me too, shout out Drew Kiter, was that you like invest in expensive soy sauce because it really makes a difference. And I'm like, really? Okay. So I didn't know that. So I'm like, do you have a soy guy? Or like, where do you buy the $17 bottle of soy sauce? You know,
I think it's the same thing when you look at a soda. Like you get a Pepsi or a Diet Pepsi, you're going to significantly know the difference, even though it might not be huge. It might be like very minute.
Yeah.
But you're like, that's a diet soda. I can tell. You're like, that doesn't have the good stuff.
Right.
Like soy sauce does.
Yep. Absolutely. So you're going with
I'm going with the stone and the rice.
All right. Nathan, what are you going with this weekend?
I've got to go with the Blackstone as well.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
You put that word in front of anything, I'm in. But fried rice is that quintessential. Like that's everyone's first, right? Like it's the first thing you do when you throw it on the
Blackstone. Oh, see, I did 2 pounds of bacon.
Breakfast, fried rice, and smash burgers. Those are your first three cooks on
I lost
thing,
my so. V card on the stone to fried rice.
Fried rice.
We had everybody over. I took a 6-pack out to the patio the night before and seasoned the stone.
Did you just 2 pounds of bacon on top of that?
I could have done that.
What did you do?
I just did avocado oil and I turned it on high, avocado oil for 15 minutes, let it sit on there, wipe it down, burn it again, wait till the smoke stopped, avocado oil, 15 more minutes. So every avocado oil was a brew, and then it was re-seasoned, and then everybody came over the next day, and they said, what are you going to cook today? I said, combination fried rice. Well, I went out there, just ting, ting,
it's
ting,
fun,
ting,
isn't
ting,
it? Yeah, know, yeah, it's so
up,
much fun.
And everybody sat at the same time. I was like, oh, my God, this is like going to Kobe.
Yeah.
I was like, stop. And what's funny
did you have the Japanese barbecue sauce on it that time?
Did not. And that's what's funny is the first time I made it was the worst time we made it.
It always is.
But and I say worse, facetious. Like it was still good. But now you get to like two or three cooks into it, and it's great. And it's just it's nuts, man. It's so good, and you start exploring. But my buddy Jeremy, this is so funny. My buddy Jeremy bought a propane a Blackstone, like the travel size ones.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, he has now cooked on it five times.
Oh my goodness! Five times in 2 weeks.
Family of five.
Yeah.
Little infant, but four girls, little boy.
It makes it so much easier for cooking. It really does.
20 smash burgers on Sundays where he went to his house. 20 smash burgers in 30 minutes.
Wow.
And was just shoveling them out. Shoveling them out.
I get to the point now where if I don't use the Blackstone, I get criticized. Because I opened the charcoal grill again the other day, right? And I put the charcoal on. I go, we don't want it on there. I'm cooking chicken breast for me for the week. I enjoy the charcoal grill. So I'm cooking the chicken breast on here. The rice will be taken care of on the flats. We didn't make the smash burgers yet. I go, how many things am I supposed to make? Plus, it's pouring outside.
You need four of our arms.
I know, you do. Like, because nobody helps, especially when you're making the fried rice. Like, that, it's a process. It's go. It's 3 minutes, 3 minutes, 3 minutes. Oh, hey, can you bring me this? Sure. 20 minutes later, are you going to help or not?
Yeah, it's nuts. I'd say the top three things on the Blackstone before we go to break, number one would be combination fried rice. Number two, I would say is fajitas. Can't beat fajitas on that stove.
You can't beat fajitas either.
Number three, it's a very close between three and four between breakfast and Philly cheesesteaks. Because like now I can actually cook a Philly cheesesteak, and mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't even mention smash burgers. So, I mean, it's all like that. You have a whole week's worth of dinner you can make on their Blackstone. Take a week off. Go back to it. You'll be huge. Moderation is probably best, but it's an addicting thing, man. I love it.
It really is. And I'll tell you, pancakes that we do on the Blackstone.
Breakfast
now
is stellar.
And I will tell you this, do not use the box pancake mix. I've got a simple recipe that I make with pancakes now, and it's 10 times better tasting than anything you're going to get out of the box. It's so easy to make. It's like flour and baking soda and vanilla, and you're in business, man.
No, I'm starving. It is 8 o'clock. We hit a break. We come back. We get to lock them up. Text line 913-586-7965. Next KC athlete you want to see get locked up to a contract. Nathan, Bob, myself, here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.